Well, the laws of the universe. I'm not going to say the laws of physics, but I'll say the laws of the universe for a moment. Everything seems to have its place. I mean, it's like a huge puzzle.
It is. It's like, as I would say, and this is kind of where the word biocosm came from, it's like an organism.
It is. It's alive all by itself.
Yep. It's or I would more precisely, it's in the process of coming to life, coming to intelligent life.
You don't think it's there yet?
I think it's partially there. We're part of the process of bringing it to life and expanding the domain of intelligence. We're very much a part of that process, and as will be our probable mechanical progeny, the sort of hyper-intelligent computers that Ray Kurzweil writes about.
In one of my favorite movies, which of course I'm sure you've seen, Contact.
Yep.
You know that scene where Jody was talking to her father on the other planet,
yep,
or the image of her father, and she said, "Well, where did this come from?" He said, "We didn't build it.
Exactly.
It was given to us," and which opened up the door to make you realize that someone gave it to them,
gave it to them.
Where eventually, though, James, don't we have to get to the one?
Maybe not. That's the heart. The point above my book, on which I've encountered the most serious challenge, and it frankly is the most difficult issue to develop.
That's the controversy.
That's the controversy, and it's sort of the Tower of Turtles conundrum. If I'm assuming that life will eventually evolve to the point where it will be capable of creating a new baby universe, that intelligent life is the reproductive organ of the universe, how did it all start? What launched that process? And I have a section in my book that offers what is frankly the most speculative piece of the argument, and it is built on some groundbreaking work that a physicist at Princeton by the name of J. Richard Gott,
mm-hmm,
is working on, and he hypothesizes, and he's got a very rigorous mathematical analysis of this, that a universe can, in effect, through a device called a closed time-like curve, a universe, and I add to that an intelligent universe, can be its own mother. In other words, that the future can, in effect, create its own past.
It's almost like it's self-breeding, I guess.
It is. It's autocatalytic. It's self-organizing. And John Wheeler, another Princeton physicist, has developed some thoughts on this as well. But that's really at the cutting edge of my theory, where it fades off into metaphysics. But that may be the subject of my next book.
Let's go back a little bit to the Big Bang,
yep,
where it's very possible there are other universes already out there,
yep,
so to speak, in that we were number two, three,
yep,
a thousand, who knows?
Who knows?
Do you subscribe to that Big Bang theory, that energy compressed to such a minute point and it just blew up?
Yes, but I don't. I say that
matter?
With a bit of a caveat. Because what is, and let me sort of expound on that a tiny bit, what is truly interesting about the Big Bang is that it was not only the energy and matter and so forth that's kind of materialized purportedly from a vacuum fluctuation,
mm-hmm,
but it was also the laws of nature that came into, sort of popped out at the same moment. And the fact, Einstein asked famously, what really interested him was whether, quote, God, unquote, had any choice in designing the laws of nature.
Mm-hmm.
And increasingly, it appears that in fact, they are not mathematically dictated. M-theory, in particular, suggests that there's a whole menagerie of possible universes in which the forces of nature, the laws of nature, could take very different forms. So, to me, the Big Bang is, I believe, something like that occurred, but it's just the beginning of the inquiry. No one has a clue as to what the force was that propelled it.
No.
Not a clue.
And see, to me, that's one of the most baffling things of the entire puzzle, because something. I mean, I don't know if matter got to be so compressed that it then just blew back up. Something had to have jump started it.
Yeah, there's and again, my sort of take on it is that, and this is a very important point which I develop in the book. There is a new theory, sort of a competitor to Alan Guth's inflation theory. And it's called the cyclic ekpyrotic universe theory. That in effect, what we think of as the Big Bang was the result of the collision of separate space-time continua that kind of sparked a very rapid expansion in what became our universe. The reason that's important for my theory is that. Under that theory, it is possible that the prior cycle did not culminate in a true singularity, which is where all the laws of nature break down, the laws of physics break down.
And would it have been chronological?
It would. It's consistent with the notion. One of the key things is that under that theory, time continues smoothly across the Big Crunch threshold. And so why that's important for my theory is that means that theoretically information can be transmitted across that threshold. I conceive of the laws of nature as essentially cosmic DNA, serving a function precisely equivalent to DNA in terms of prescribing the plan for the growth of the biocosm.